Welcome once again to We're Drunk and We Know Things. In this week's tech segment, we've got it all. Monkeys, mushrooms, motor racing, Russian mathematicians, and potentially prostitutes. It's an epic odyssey across land, sea, venturing even into outer space. And since, as we all know, it's dangerous to go alone, Mike is accompanying me on this mystic quest through the history, immense output, and cultural legacy of Japan's third largest company. This week on We're Drunk and We Know Things, it's Nintendo.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
That is amazing. Seriously, this is very exciting. I thought this was going to be another one of our podcasts where you talk to me, or at me, for an hour about a history of something. It turns out this is an exciting adventure together.
It is.
It's an odyssey.
There's a lot of history in
it. You said it was an odyssey. Would you go as far to say it's a Mario odyssey?
You see why I did that?
The whole point of this is just to make that joke, so thanks very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You've nailed it.
So you've been listening to... No.
exactly.
We should do
our
usual.
Don't play Mario. What are you fucking
Mike,
doing?
Mike, where are we?
Oh, we're at JB's.
Again,
for change. We've basically changed from the Prince of Wales, to be fair. We are at JB's.
There are more than two pubs in Jersey, by the way. Although, frankly, JB's probably the best craft lager bar in the island.
Some would say the only one, but it certainly is the best one. And also, we are drinking Stinky Bay IPA. I like to think they realised it rhymed, which is a locally produced beer.
This is a newly released locally produced beer by two guys
like
whose names I legit can't remember, despite the fact I met them a week ago.
Brewed in Jersey by Matt and Digby. So shout out to Matt and Digby.
Big up for making a...
Big up.
Big up my brewing massive.
Big up brewing massive. Oh, God. Oh, I've stopped following this podcast. So that's the worst. No, I think we're done.
Right.
No, we're done.
Okay.
Anyway, but no, in all seriousness, this beer is very, very nice, actually.
Our producer...
It's quaffable.
Falco has got his head in his hands at this point.
Our producer this week is Falco Lombardi, I should say, sorry. He gets so annoying when I say his name wrong. So I'm going to call him Fuckface McGillicuddy for the rest of the podcast. there are very small children around us in this pub. Why shouldn't be swearing that much? Anyway, let's talk about Nintendo.
Let's. So we're going to start...
So at the beginning. Oh, well, that is a good place to start.
It's traditional.
You're not going to Quentin Tarantino up and start in the middle and then, like, be an intersecting... Start at the beginning.
There's just some guy holding a GameCube controller going, I suppose you're wondering how I got here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, exactly. How he got here was 1889.
Shut
now,
up.
This is a lot
really?
Further back
1889?
The year is 1889.
They're a computer games company, Rob. That's not true.
And the man
Nintendo.
Is Fusajiro Yamauchi.
Right.
One of the things you're going to have to get on board with right now, by the way, dear listener, is I'm going to butcher a lot of Japanese names in this regard.
And I'm
going to
give them English names, which
no,
is a bit offensive.
Not.
Okay, fine.
Because these are good people.
Absolutely. So, I'm not.
Fusajiro starts a company, and he calls it Nintendo Koppai.
Right.
And what they make...
Koppai is corporation in Japanese?
Yep.
Nailed it.
What they make is Hanafuda cards. And these are playing cards.
Oh, right, okay.
A Japanese set of common playing cards that can be used to play a load of different games. Yeah. They are hand-painted works of art.
And are they playing cards like Western playing cards? Or like
a completely different set in terms
it's like
of
an
suits
actual,
and what have you.
Okay, right.
But
so
very
they made
similar
their own
in
game
the,
on cards.
They're common.
Sure.
So what we've got is biggest card manufacturer in Japan, so big that they decide they're going to go public. They're going to float it on the stock market.
Right.
So Nintendo goes public in 1962.
Wow, okay.
And then it gets a bit weird.
As, well...
Because, you know, floating a company, if you do it right, you get a load of money, right? You're selling all these shares, and with all of this newfound capital...
You want to branch out into new areas.
Very, very new areas.
Yeah.
A variety of them. some of which you may know, some of which you may not.
No, I know.
So... In no particular order, Nintendo launched a TV network.
Really?
In Japan.
Wow.
Didn't go well. They launched a taxi company.
Yep, that I didn't know.
Yeah, but did you know that that actually went really well to the point where it could have pretty much sustained the entire
also
company.
Like, in my brain, I've got like a New York cab, but it's got a picture of Bowser on the top. Like, this is way before Mario and all that kind of stuff. So Nintendo are just a company who are trying to do stuff. They haven't got Princess Peach on the doors of their taxis. Although, FYI, Nintendo, if you're listening, that is kind of a thing.
Yeah, this isn't the Mii taxi driver experience.
I would definitely jump inside Princess Peach if I got a chance.
No.
In a taxi?
Oh.
Yeah, I'd fuck her in a taxi. Anyway,
But no, we have a good old-fashioned unionisation to thank.
Right.
Because there were labour unions that made it too expensive to run the taxi service in Japan.
Right.
If it hadn't been for those labour unions and the organisation of the proletariat,
right,
comrade, we may never have what we're going to spend the rest of this episode talking about. They could just turn it into a taxi firm.
Sure.
Which would have been a crime.
It would have been a crime.
As well as taxis and TV shows. They also invented the Chiritori, which is a remote-controlled vacuum cleaner.
They invented the Roomba.
No, because a Roomba is autonomous. This still had to be operated.
Oh, you had to control it with a machine? Oh my God, I think I prefer that.
Push it.
I think I prefer that. If I can sit on the sofa and be like... Oh my God.
It's like the lawnmower out of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids,
I actually want one of those.
Yeah. They were actually quite successful, except
of course they were.
They were terrible vacuum cleaners.
You could get your kids to do the vacuum clean and be like, hey, drive this around, you little prick. This is how I talk to my kids. You piece of shit, drive this thing around.
They were terrible vacuum cleaners, and they were also insanely expensive.
Yeah, it also sounds like Nintendo.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, Nintendo had identified that the instant noodle game in Japan was going crazy.
Well, yeah. Right? I mean, let's not put a button on it, but yeah. That's...
And, in true Nintendo form, they didn't just go with the flow. No, no. They invented their own range of instant rice.
You had to build your own cooker out of cardboard, which they supplied, and, we'll come on to Labo later. Right?
Which used the
instant
same...
rice.
Yeah. The
isn't
same
all
basic
rice
dehydration.
Instant,
the same basic dehydration as the instant noodles, and was uniformly horrible. I'm guessing they were going for like seconds rather than minutes.
It wasn't as good as our delicious, weird, fishy what's-it that we ate earlier.
More on that,
which I guess is an appendix.
The next business venture that Nintendo went into were the short-stay love hotels.
Yeah. So the no-tell motel. So the no-tell motel, right? Yeah, I heard about this.
For anybody who doesn't know what these are, this is
you go in there and you fuck for a couple of hours and then you leave.
This is a thing in Japan, yeah, where basically it's a sex hotel. And it's also
I don't know.
In the 60s.
Yeah. Well, it was the time of
none
life.
Of these things worked.
Shocker.
Particularly well, apart from the taxi thing that would have worked were it not for the unions.
I'm spotting a trend because they ended up as a computer games company. They're not even doing computer games yet, by the way.
No.
They're still just trying to get people to fuck in the afternoon.
We introduced the first of our significant named characters, a chap called Gunpei Yokoi.
Kirby.
Gunpei Yokoi.
Right.
Now, he's a maintenance engineer who maintains the machines that Nintendo operate to make, presumably, vacuum cleaners and sex robots to work in their hotels.
Well, that is something that we need to go back to. If they didn't just invent the love hotel, but also you could rent a robot to fuck?
It's Japan, right? In the 60s. Now, bear in mind that Gunpei is basically the unsung Nintendo hero.
Right.
He was a maintenance engineer, and he invented so much stuff for Nintendo, including the control pad, the D-pad that we know.
Well, he invented the D-pad.
He invented the D-pad.
I mean, that is... we'll come into this later, but
that
is
legit quintessential. But in 1970... He's not working on the D-pad. He's invented something called the Ultra Hand, which is basically like an extendable grabbing arm.
Is that like when you sit on your hand for 10 minutes and then rub one out?
No.
Ultra Hand.
It's a plastic extruded arm. The Stranger.
So, sorry, the Ultra Hand, was it like the Power Glove?
No. No, this is literally an extendable hand that grabs things and then retracts.
Oh, it's that thing when you pull the trigger and it's got the clampy thing on the end. Nintendo invented that.
Nintendo invented that. Specifically, Gunpei Yokoi invented it for Nintendo.
Specifically, that man.
And they were able to take it to market and they sold millions of units.
Well,
it was a
arms.
Crazy success.
A lot of T-Rexes in Japan. Short arms.
As a result, thank you, Nintendo, they finally start to focus back on toys and games.
Tiny, short-arm
which
hand
gives us
grabbers.
A rising interest in the space of electronic gaming.
Yeah.
Starting with, in 1972, they get the right to distribute the Magnavox Odyssey console.
Not the Magnavox Odyssey control. Good
console.
Yeah, I nailed it. Yeah, got it.
In Japan, this is the world's first commercial home video game system.
Before Pong. I thought Pong was the first one.
Video game system. Pong was a game.
Oh, okay. It was a
this
game
had
on a
many
machine.
Games.
Oh.
And you know how you could change the game? By sticking different overlays to your television.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was
so
really
it was like a moving
tech.
Dot on the television and
pretty
you put
much.
Different overlays.
Oh, the dot is now exploring a forest.
We laugh about that, but like, you think about the shit we used to play 20 years ago. When we used to play the PS1, now we're like the G-Con gun. Come on, guys. Throw yourselves out.
Interestingly, the G-Con gun aside, the Magnavox was one of the first consoles to actually use a light gun.
Oh, really? Duck Hunt?
Pre-Duck Hunt. But you can see where Nintendo got slash stole the idea from.
Now, that is something that needs to come back on the Switch.
Now, I'm not going to get into the Magnavox. Please, please, please go and look it up. Because
are they the band that did Vienna?
You're just in there for the puns. Ralph Baer. I'm just ignoring it now. I'm not going to give up.
Ralph Baer?
Who designed the Magnavox.
Yogi's brother.
Yep. He was actually awarded the National Medal of Technology for his groundbreaking and pioneering creation, development and commercialization of interactive video games. Before we get into Donkey Kong, although we're almost there, Nintendo decide that the Magnavox is a massive success and they are going to launch their own arcade games.
Right.
Because arcades are now a thing.
Right. And this is when? This is the 80s?
This is 70s? 70, 75.
70s, sure, okay.
Their first game is called EVR Race.
Right.
This is a six-player table game.
Right.
Where, basically, you place bets on horse racing. I don't know if you know this about the Japanese, but they are nuts about horse racing, and they are nuts about gambling.
Well, natural jockeys.
Oh.
Racist. Sorry. I'm
so
sorry.
Close.
This is so
bad. We nearly made it 10 minutes in.
I mean, I'm sorry. That was bad.
This game was so complicated that it actually spent more time being repaired by Nintendo's engineers than it did in arcades.
Right.
It was like the F15 of its time. They also, not content with the arcade, released the first ever Nintendo console. Do you know what it was called?
It was called the Nintendo Entertainment System.
No.
It was called like the Speak and Watch or something.
It was called the Color TV Game. I'm guessing it loses something in translation.
I would hope so.
So this is a home gaming console that basically Nintendo released, and it had like a dozen games.
They released
built
like the handheld
in 1980. Gunpei Yokoi, Mr. Handman,
the same guy,
has invented Game & Watch.
The dwarf that's got the moustache. Italian heritage. Just FYI for the listener.
He's invented Game & Watch.
Right, yes. It was called Game & Watch. Okay,
yeah.
Amazing.
And these are tiny little single-use games, but they're portable.
So it's like the old game we all had when we were kids. Yeah. It's like a thing drawn onto a screen and then a dot that jumps around between platforms, you know, like Space Invaders or, I don't know, Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Over the course of Game & Watch's history, they made 60 variants. 6-0.
Wow.
Gunpei has kind of done his bit. And then we introduce another character. And possibly one
Bowser.
Of my...
Donkey Kong?
It's bad to have idols as a grown-up, but this guy is one of my idols.
Jordan Peterson.
His name is Shigeru Miyamoto.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Okay.
And he was... something
I know
Nintendo.
That name.
You do know that name. Right. Because he invented Donkey Kong.
Oh, that'll be why I know that name.
In 1981,
Nintendo
make their second arcade play.
Yeah.
And at the moment, everything in the arcades is either very specialised or basically Space Invaders.
Sure, Galaga or whatever,
Miyamoto decided that no, he was going to build something that was very challenging, very hard, but also very fun.
Dragon Quest.
And he wanted a very specific character to star in this game.
Sure.
Do you know what that character was?
I want to say Mario, but I'm going to say Bowser instead.
No. Popeye.
Popeye?
Donkey Kong was originally meant to
Popeye
star...
Popeye from what? From
Popeye,
French Connection?
As in Popeye the Sailor Man.
No, I get it. Yeah, okay, right.
Popeye from the French Connection.
Yeah.
That would have been weird.
Do you know Popeye's chicken? Popeye's fried chicken in America is named after Popeye. From French Connection.
Nice.
So weird. Anyway, but Popeye.
Nintendo couldn't get the license to use Popeye.
Shocker.
So had to invent another
character.
Even
though they had that sweet licensing deal from Disney.
Yeah.
Time they to couldn't get on. That sweet licensing deal from
Times Are Tough.
Kind of like MGM or something.
And so we have the first appearance in Nintendo history.
You're telling me it could have been Popeye and Betty Boop.
Yeah. Of
that's so funny.
We get the first appearance in Nintendo history of a character who will forever now be known as Jumpman.
Is that what he was called?
That's what he was originally called.
Well, that's because that's what he did, right? He just jumped.
But he
until
also had
he
a
could
hammer.
Fire them. Sorry?
He also had a hammer.
Did he? Oh, yeah, yeah, because he smashed the barrels. Yeah, he smashed the barrels.
So you've never played Donkey Kong?
I have on Mario Odyssey.
To be fair,
yeah,
I was one when it came out.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
But yeah, they decided when they
so
were
you
making
won,
the game...
I was minus 15.
You
Rob
were still
Super
in,
old.
Still
Rob
in Baghdad.
Rob Super Old. I'm still in Baghdad. Yeah, people don't know this about me. I'm an Irani.
Your dad's bag.
Whatever. Oh, my dad's bag. I thought you meant Baghdad.
Last bit of Donkey Kong specific trivia.
Sure, sorry.
Nintendo got sued...
Right.
By MCA Universal.
By Donkeys and Monkeys.
In 1982. No, by MCA Universal.
Right, yeah. Oh, for King Kong.
Yes.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
MCA
yeah,
Universal yeah. lost really hard.
So is that a true thing that it's called Donkey Kong because they fucked up the translation, it should have been called Monkey Kong?
No.
So it's always they didn't call it Monkey Kong because they knew they would get sued, so they call it Donkey Kong?
Nope.
Because it's like a Bison, M Bison, whatever, like they switch the names and... Street Fighter, you know, like to make it not look like Mike Tyson.
Well, that was made by Capcom, so.
But it was always called Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Oh, so they're just weird.
Yes.
Cool.
Japan. So, off the back of their first forays into electronic gaming, arcade gaming,
Jump.
Nintendo then released what is regarded as the first Nintendo console, which is
the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Actually, it's called the Family Computer.
God damn it.
Famicom.
Was it really?
Yeah, in Japan.
Oh, right, okay.
It was
sure.
the Nintendo Famicom.
But it is the NES, as
basically,
I know
yeah.
it.
In the West, which we'll get to in a second, yeah. it was released as the NES. And this was a two-player console.
Right.
With yeah. the D-pad.
And the A and B button.
And the A and B button, start select.
Amazing. I used to have a belt that the belt buckle was just an old repurposed NES controller. And I thought I was the coolest cat in town. And turns out... I was a loser. Okay, so let's move on.
It was the first one to use cartridges. The first
yes.
game system to use carts.
Was it really the first one to use cartridges?
Yeah, because there were carts in computers.
Have they, other than the GameCube, have they ever used discs? They've always been a cartridge family.
We'll come on to that.
Oh.
Not
a fan
and
of optimal storage.
It was so successful in Japan. Actually, I'm lying. The initial round of Famicoms in Japan were really successful, but also had a slight flaw with one of the chips that meant that they crashed a lot.
Right.
I mean, a lot.
Like, a lot.
Pretty much every time you turned it on, it was 50-50 if you get halfway through a
okay.
level.
Oh, okay, perfect.
They fixed all of that and then took the Famicom to the USA.
Right.
Which was in the midst of a complete crash of the video game industry.
Okay, so what period is this? So what was crashing then? It had Space Invaders and the
again,
Galaga.
We're talking about kind of 1985.
So there wasn't any home entertainment systems. There,
there was.
Any...
This was at the back end of Atari's success. They just released E.T.
Oh, so Atari were fucked then.
They,
right?
Literally, okay. the shark
they
had been
literally
well and truly
burying
jumped.
Games in the desert.
Uh-huh. and U.S. sales struggled yeah. as a result.
Yeah.
To the point that they actually attempted to market the NES
Did
not
he?
As a games console,
yeah.
but as a toy by bundling it with a robot called...
A robot?
The Nintendo... Is it the Rob or Bob?
The Nintendo Rob?
Yeah.
This is a lie, isn't it?
No, this is legit true. It didn't work...
What kind of robot?
...at all. And they were
are we
like,
talking about
is...
Johnny Five is Alive kind of robot? Or
it was, no,
about...
it was a robot that you could control from the NES. Our
I,
producer
I mean, shown
has just
a photo
shown
of this
Mike
and
a
they
photo.
Still don't... That's like it... the robot out of Rocky 3. That's...
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
So it was remote control...
Yeah.
I kind of want one now.
Yeah, so do I.
Can I get one that's controlled from a Switch?
No, because they're terrible. Although, to be fair, they have re-entered the robotics world with cardboard. But anyway, the real saviour for the US market sales of the
yeah.
NES
yeah.
was Miyamoto. Because he built Super Mario Brothers. He followed it up in 1986. Because Miyamoto is... fucking genius.
Is he
and I
still
want to love
working
him and
on
have
Mario
Japanese
games
babies.
Now?
Yes.
Jesus, that is incredible.
Although working kind of has a
he's
team.
There. He's
he
there.
He has his Mario bitches.
He doesn't do anything, but he's the guy who's got his name on stuff.
He designed and approved.
Or even
the
Odyssey and stuff?
We'll get to it. Come on. So he followed it up in 1986 with The Legend of Zelda.
What?
Which was inspired...
So he invented Mario and Zelda?
Yes. It was inspired by his childhood exploring the woods around the farm where he grew up.
Really?
Yeah.
He invented Mario. There's
one guy. Defeating imaginary monsters.
So basically, that bloke is Nintendo. He is Nintendo.
That bloke and...
Every time they launch a new console, it's like, oh, have you seen the new Mario and Zelda game? It is that bloke.
And Gunpei Yokoi, between the two of them.
Oh, yeah, sure. He invented robots.
Oh, hang on. He's coming back. He also, by the way, Yokoi invented the robot. That was his idea. Okay, so...
what?
And they're building...
Can you imagine being the person that invented Mario and Zelda?
I don't need to.
That's like... He exists. That's like bigger than James Cameron. James Cameron invented Terminator.
It's kind of bigger than Jesus.
That's ridiculous.
So, the NES is selling like crazy. There's popularity through the roof. Demand is up. They want a sequel to Super Mario Brothers.
Which they're going to call Super Mario Bros. 2, I was...
Yes, of course. Because it's the 80s. So,
it's the second
one.
Yeah.
trouble is, Miyamoto actually made it, and it was never released outside Japan.
What? There's a secret Mario? Secret Japan Mario game?
It was later released on the SNES
as
the Lost Levels.
It was released on the SNES, so it was released on the next console.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking Japan.
But
holding that shit to
the reason it wasn't released was because it was too hard.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And frankly, if you look at some of them, some of the level points that you have to do,
it's a different gaming franchise, but I don't know if you played Sonic recently, but Sonic apparently is the hardest game in the entire universe.
I don't know. Super Mario 2 was up there.
Like, I'm hammering Breath of the Wild, and I'm playing Sonic Mania, and it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm 35 years old, and I'm throwing controllers. It's a nightmare. But anyway.
So Super Mario 2 was not released. Instead, the US market got Super Mario 2.
Right.
Which was a completely different game.
Okay.
And it was a rehash of a game called Doki Doki Panic. It doesn't have Bowser. It doesn't have Koopas or any of this, or mushrooms. It has turnips and a weird dreamland. It's basically, they just re-sprited an existing game.
Because they kind of retcon those elements into the Mario games later, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, you turns you into a rabbit and you hit the A button and you can float and that kind of shit. But that's weird.
It's frankly,
well, it's a cash cow. It's a cash cow.
Trippy. Playing Super Mario 2, knowing what we now know about Super Mario, is trippy, because it feels wrong.
And we highly recommend to our viewers that they start taking very strong hallucinogens and then playing old-school computer games.
Yeah, the shrooms aren't...
That's something that we're definitely 100... Okay. As a podcast, we're 100% behind.
Okay, my lawyers have told me...
Use the hardest of drugs.
Do not listen to Mike.
Heroin is the best, if you can get it.
You should know that already, right?
I mean...
No heroin into your eyeballs. Come on.
You're right, Rob. Wink. Don't do heroin into your eyeballs. Wink.
Stop winking. You're bleeding on the microphone.
Indeed.
Miyamoto did make amends.
Right.
And he made amends with Super Mario 3.
Mario Brothers 3 is the legit
business.
Which
is basically the best game on the NES ever,
It's
right?
legit good.
And introduced that the Tanuki Sue and...
Firing the fire guy? The little fire flower? Firing the fireball thing is the best?
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Meanwhile, in 1989, Gunpei Yokoi...
Not Gunpei again.
Gunpei again.
He's back.
...has decided that actually, having invented the Game & Watch...
And the robot.
And the robot.
And the Hoover.
And the Hoover. No, he invented the hand.
He invented the hand.
I don't think he had anything to do with the Hoover.
Did he invent the power glove?
That clearly there is an opportunity for portable gaming.
There is. The market is wide open for it.
Yeah. And... As a result, his team invented something that we now know as the Game Boy.
Shut up. No, he didn't.
He did.
Shut up. No.
100%.
I know I've been told to sit closer to the mic, but I want to walk away and discuss. Are you?
Nope.
All right, fine. We're going. Right.
Now, bear in mind, the Game Boy is amazing, and it's amazing because of how shit it was.
Oh, I know. I had one.
It was a monochrome screen.
Yeah.
No battery, no backlight.
It's green.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
But it meant that it ran for like 10 hours on 4 AA's.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Amazing.
And the absolute coup de grace for the Game Boy was what they bundled it with.
Which is?
A game called Tetris.
Oh, that old number. That weird Russian mathematician, freaky old, yeah.
Yeah. So Nintendo actually licensed this off a guy called Alexei Patijanov. See, I'm that much in the Japanese zone.
They licensed it off of a Russian bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they bundled it with the Game Boy. And the Game Boy remained the number one handheld games console for 10 years. The year is 1991 at this point.
Is it?
Yep. And yep. Nintendo decided that they need to follow up with the NES. They pushed it as far as it'll go.
Yep.
And they pushed it a long way when you consider some of the early stuff on the NES looked like an absolute dog's breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then you
yeah,
get the
yeah,
likes
definitely.
Of Mario Brothers 3, yeah, which yeah. looks mint and polished.
It looks totally...
Oh, mean, and you get a second Zelda game, of course, on the NES.
After Link's Awakening?
No, no.
Or is it Link's Awakening is the second one?
No, Link's Awakening is the...
I've only ever played
on the
one.
Game Boy.
I'm such a new boy to come to Nintendo consoles. I've only ever played
Pretty
one
sure Link's
Zelda.
Awakening is on the Game Boy. And yeah, Nintendo released the Super Famicom. Again, not good at naming things.
The SNES.
Or the or Super the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Super Famicom's fam.
Well, it's a family computer. This was the first 16-bit system.
The first 16-bit system?
Yeah, why not?
So this is their first 16-bit?
It's their
or?
First 16-bit okay, system. Okay, right, right. And I'm not going to go
so
into too much detail.
Just
but
for
it
the
gave...
listeners, very quickly, that yeah. might not know, what's the difference between 8-bit and 16-bit and 32 and 64-bit?
It's just more processing
More pixels,
power,
isn't it?
So it's more powerful.
Oh, okay, more
powerful. More
powerful, it's not about
more
pixels,
colours.
It's more about...
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And
good for
the whole point
listeners.
About the SNES, the Super Famicom, is that it can do better graphics. It gave rise to games such as Super Mario World, Super Metroid, sure. Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger,
oh, wow. okay.
the longest RPG ever invented by mankind. Okay. I think it that. Literally took like 3.5 months to finish it, if you were playing it end-to-end, like speedrun. That's an exaggeration,
oh, really?
By the
oh,
way,
okay.
don't correct me.
okay.
Donkey Kong Country, Street Fighter 2, A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, which is right. still, in my not at all humble opinion, the best Zelda game ever made.
Play Breath of the Wild.
Star Fox,
right.
F-Zero, and Super Mario Kart.
Okay.
So the
Super
Mario
Kart, is that the first kart?
Yeah,
the first
it's
Super
the first
Mario
kart. There was
kart
no
game.
Kart on NES or on Game Boy.
Right, okay.
Yet. The SNES basically ruled.
Sure.
So in the 90s, like the early 90s, yeah. Sega and Nintendo are going head-to-head for market share.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Sega are actually winning.
Yeah, but then they released the Dreamcast and tanked.
Ah. Fortunately, we're not doing the Sega podcast.
yeah, it's too
but
sad.
Yeah, basically, too Sega tried to jump to the next generation of console
yeah.
too quickly.
Yeah.
They tried a 32-bit... Dreamcast
that was,
console.
Is that before the N64?
Yes.
Right, okay,
and
okay, okay.
the market wasn't ready for it. There was sticker shock.
And they weren't ready for it.
Sega basically collapsed. What
they had that weird Tamagotchi
what
thing.
What Sega, Mike?
They make computer games for Nintendo now.
No, they got bought by Nintendo.
Oh, are they actually bought by Nintendo?
Well, I say bought. Nintendo kind of picked through the ashes.
They were like, oh, guess
of what?
What
was Sega
you get to
at
make Sonic Mania
and
we'll put it on the Switch and fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, cherry picked a good yeah, IP yeah. and just left the crap.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Do you want some Genesis baseball caps? No, we're all right, mate.
I'll have one.
The SNES is doing amazing things in the game world, although it's being slightly beaten by Sega because the
Sega.
Other one.
Sonic.
Mega Drive has a faster graphics processor.
Oh, really? Well, it has to be fast. Sonic's pretty quick.
Yeah, it does really fast arcade-style graphics really well.
Sure, sure.
But it's fine because Nintendo still have a stranglehold on the handheld game market.
With the Game Boy, sure.
And Gunpei Yokoi...
Shut up. He's here with a super and lighter and thinner version of the Game Boy.
No.
Okay. He's killed
he's
10 children.
He's about to fall from grace.
Oh, okay. Oh,
in a
he's
big
killed
way.
10 children, yeah.
Because in 1995...
He raped 10 people.
Really?
I don't know.
He might have done.
Okay, well, it's...
No, in 1995, he posits, or in fact releases, an invention called the Virtual Boy.
Well, that's not as bad as what I said, but it does... What's the Virtual Boy?
The Virtual Boy...
Well, there's not an online thing, is there? So what's...
The Virtual Boy sucked.
Right, so what was it?
It was a monochrome graphic, very red graphics, whereas the Game Boy was green.
It was green, yeah.
Virtual Boy was red. It used modern ray tracing technology at the time.
Right.
And it beamed a slightly different image into each eye.
Oh, so you had to wear it on your face?
Yes.
Well, mate.
But, firstly, it was a bit heavy, so you couldn't really wear it on your face.
You had to wear it on your face?
It was on a stand on the table, and you kind of just looked into it.
No, that's mental. I never thought that was a good idea.
Also, it got no motion tracking whatsoever, so you either had to sit there at a table
was
looking
at this
thing. Was
this released outside of Japan? Because it doesn't... I've
yeah,
never
yeah,
heard
yeah.
it. Was it really?
No, it made it to the US. And it was well known for producing nausea in players.
I'm looking at a picture of it now, and it looks like the pizza oven I've got at home for the kitchen. That's mental.
It's horrible. The graphics were horrific.
Oh my god!
So it was basically like playing like virtual tennis.
It's like a shittier version of the Game Boy.
In a hellscape, because it was all red.
So hey, people love Tron. Let's put them in Tron, except we haven't got the technology to put them in Tron. So let's
really bad.
It's that Street Fight. I'm being shown a new image of Street Fighter.
It was discontinued. It was discontinued after 1 year.
Right, shocker.
And it was the last project that Yokoi worked on for Nintendo.
Oh, so that was it? They killed him?
Not quite.
They killed his career.
He did go on to release a whole bunch of other handheld game systems.
He then became...
But not for Nintendo.
Prime Minister of Japan. No,
anyway,
none of those things. No. No matter how you slice it, he didn't do it. Oh,
a year after, 1 year later, Nintendo released their next generation console, which has leapfrogged 32-bit altogether.
33-bit. Let me guess, 33-bit.
Yeah, because that's how this works. We go from 8 to 16 to 32 to 33.
If this podcast has taught me anything, exponential means add one to the number before.
If this podcast has taught anybody anything, that's exactly what we thought it meant.
So the N64...
It was actually developed in conjunction with a company called Silicon Graphics.
Right.
Who made...
Well, they invented Metroid, right?
No. They made crazy 3D computers. As in 3D rendering computers, as in supercomputers. Silicon Graphics, or SGI, were like the big Mac Daddy of 3D.
So they were like, hey, here's a hand with this new console we're doing. And they were like, no worries, Bosch.
Yeah. Right. And they helped them build the 3D chip.
Yep.
And it was the first...
And is that the why, like, GoldenEye's got, like, the 3D rendering of, like, being able to move around? Just because
and,
of that silicon what's-it-face?
Super Mario 3D.
Arguably the best Mario game.
It was the first only true 64-bit system.
Yeah.
And it was the first system to bring built-in four-player gaming.
Yeah, because it had the four ports in the front, right?
Yeah, you used to be able to do it with the SNES, but you had to buy an add-on.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was built in four players.
Had four ports, yeah. Absolutely. And it was only $75 million
for one
control. We're
going to talk about, you know, the gaming legacy of the N64, but it gave us such titles as Super Mario 64, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Never played that.
What?
We'll come on to my history with Zelda in a minute.
Mario Kart 64, Star Fox 64, F-Zero X, Super Smash Brothers, and of course GoldenEye, amongst myriad others.
GoldenEye, a game that no one's ever played or talked about and wasn't in any way culturally important.
There were, or was... a really, really cool add-on for the N64.
Right. Is it like the 32X
cool
on the Mega Drive?
Because its name will make you titter.
Is it the bazooka thing?
It made me titter. No, that was actually the Super Scope, and that was for the SNES.
Oh, was it? Because you had the gun for Duck Hunt, right? And then
for
some reason
the
they decided...
And then the
Super
Scope was better than a gun.
Do you know what's better than holding a gun in your hand?
Is
mounting a thing on your shoulder, trying to shoot ducks that are flying in
the air.
Little
8-year-old Jimmy, give him a bazooka.
Brilliant idea for 8 seconds, and then so impractical. Anyway.
Yeah, no. Nintendo released a disk drive for the N64, but the disk drive was called the N64 Double D.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
No, it wasn't. Double D. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. The N64 Double D. Oh, I'll give her the old N64 Double D.
It was never released outside Japan.
It might have been called the Titwank. That's mental.
So let's go back a little bit to the Super Nintendo era, because you mentioned before Sony. And Super Nintendo had been exploring the concept of CD-ROM distribution for games.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they'd partnered with Sony.
Optical storage was the future at that time.
They partnered with Sony, indeed, to develop some form of optical system. It didn't quite work. And in the end, Nintendo cut ties with Sony and went with Philips.
But you can see lots of like concept art and all that kind of stuff online. I mean, they built things.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Actually, it's quite interesting.
In full
R&D
mode,
it
didn't quite work. So in the end, Nintendo went with Philips, and that didn't quite work.
It's like the 32X on the Mega Drive.
That went well. The trouble is, Nintendo didn't quite realise what they'd done.
Right.
Because they'd basically spent the best part of a year working with Sony and
showing
them just
the
how freaking
competitor.
Lucrative the games market was, teaching them everything that they knew inadvertently. Yeah. As a result, by the time we get to...
here's all these lessons. Why didn't you basically put us out of business, is basically what they
by
did.
By the time we get to the N64, towards the kind of second year of its release...
Sure, sure.
Sony released something called the PlayStation and promptly proceeded to wipe the floor with Nintendo. Sony have arrived with a bang and with a bunch of CDs.
Sure.
And bear in mind that from a game production perspective, CDs are much easier.
Sure.
They don't have to be flashed. They're much more reliable.
And they've got like Metal Gear Solid, and all that kind of shit. That was like launch titles for that shit.
And PlayStation went big into marketing. Mm. As a result, we now enter what I suppose most people would recognise as the Dark Ages for Nintendo as a console and game.
Well, it's just the PlayStation era. That's what it is. It's just that everyone else nearly died.
During this era,
Sega did die.
They carried on making stuff, and they released the GameCube.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That controller is fucking brilliant.
The controller's amazing.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back.
It was disc-based, but it used mini discs.
Tiny little discs.
Mini DVDs.
Very portable.
And to be honest, a lot of the games for the GameCube were very poorly received because Nintendo went through a period of... They pitched way more family-friendly,
Mario
I think, than
Sunshine
they should.
Is fucking amazing.
Mario Sunshine is amazing, but Wind Waker...
I haven't played that. Which we'll, was, again, to we'll, be honest, we'll come back to
an amazing
our
Zelda game.
We'll come on to our histories with
but
Nintendo.
It wasn't dark. It
Sunshine
was
is like
it was. Yeah. They went PG 13. They didn't even go PG 13.
Sunshine's the first open source, open world Mario game, right?
Near enough. Yeah.
Oh no, N64, I guess. Yeah.
And by the end of the GameCube's run, not only are PlayStation kicking their ass,
a bit of a joke
with
aren't
the
they?
PlayStation 2. Yeah. But also, Microsoft have waded in with the Xbox.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the modern gaming stage has been set. Nintendo are looking a bit weak. So, briefly, Nintendo got a bit of a resurgence. Also in 2001, they released the Game Boy Advance.
Sure, the GBA.
Which was actually a 16-bit successor to a couple of reboots of the Game Boy system.
It was a big, meaty motherfucker, but they turned it sideways this time.
They turned it sideways, and it had full colour and a backlight.
And you could get blue and yellow and red and green and all sorts of colours.
Yeah. And it's worth taking a brief moment to explain what's been going on in the Game Boy world.
Yeah.
It's kind of been running parallel. They released the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Micro.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a couple of other variants.
The Game Boy Ultra and stuff, which was like super thin, which was only released in Japan. And in the meantime, like, that is important to say, is that Nintendo have owned the handheld console game forever.
Point, they still own
it. I mean,
it.
They like, Sony tried to release the Game Gear and shit, which was fucking bullshit.
Game Gear was Sega. Sony released the PSP.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. And PSP, but it was all a load of bollocks. The handheld game has always been owned by Nintendo.
Yeah. They beat off the...
And they beat them off.
They fought off... Was it the Atari Lynx?
Yeah.
And they actually
fought
that off by being shitter than the Lynx.
But they've never beat the Neo Geo.
Right, so the Game Boy Advance is released, and it's worth taking a brief moment to explain that the Game Boy has endured predominantly because of a very, very cutesy game franchise. It wasn't Tetris that kept the Game Boy alive.
Sure. No, of course not.
It was Pokemon.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Pokemon basically are the reason that...
I have never played a Pokemon game.
Neither have I.
Have you really not?
No, I played Pokemon Go, that's it.
I feel like you're a Pokemon guy.
I know that's
know
a Pokemon game, but I've never played a Pokemon game
on a Nintendo
platform.
I thought you were a Pokemon guy,
platform.
I don't know
no,
why.
No, not
I've
at all.
I've never...
Anyway, so we can now move on to the return to form for Nintendo, because in 2004, they actually decided that the Game Boy Advance isn't advanced, and instead...
It's a load of shit.
They should release something new.
That is fucking good as well. I know what you're going to say, and that is a good business. Now, this is when I got back into playing computer games.
To be honest, I think, yeah, similar. Nintendo released the Nintendo Dual Screen.
So good.
Or DS. Now,
fucking
this
brain training
is
blew
absolutely
my mind.
Amazing.
So
because,
yeah.
firstly, it's completely innovative.
Yeah.
It's a handheld console. It's got two screens. One of them is touch. It's got a stylus. It's got Wi-Fi. And it's based on an original concept from the Game & Watch series back in the 80s.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah,
Game
of
Watch
course it is. The clamshell thing. Yeah, of course, yeah.
And the DS basically showed that whilst
Nintendo
might
innovating
stumbled,
the future by looking back to the past,
oh,
that'll be a theme, perhaps.
They may
that'll
have stumbled
theme,
slightly,
yeah.
but they owned the handheld gaming space again.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
To the point that they saw off because Sony were like, "Well, we're going to launch
and a fucking Super Mario World game on that fucking the initial release that Super Mario game is." Anyway, we're coming on to
and
our history
Sony
with Nintendo.
Decided they're going to launch a PSP. They threw all of their resources.
It was bullshit,
at it, and it absolutely
it was
tanked.
So big. It was massive, that thing. It was like holding a keyboard in your hand.
The other thing that the DS did...
I did like the little joypad thing on the PSP.
I never even touched
the slidey
one,
around knob... Not jobby.
You like sliding your knob around on
I
a
like
PSP.
I like sliding the knob around.
Yeah, nice.
But you can't beat a D-pad.
The DS is basically triumphant, but it's triumphant in the face of fairly significant adversity. Because It allows Nintendo to reach new audiences.
Sure.
It introduces kids. The concept of casual gaming.
Sure.
No, it's actually selling to kids, adults, and women.
Really?
Who had been completely disenfranchised with the games industry.
As I said before, the biggest fan of the Game Boy I've ever met is my mum. So yeah, yep. I get that, yeah.
but they'd been completely disenfranchised by Xbox and Sony because they're all oh, look how big my gun is.
Take it so seriously.
And, oh, look at Lara Croft.
Oh my
She's
God,
got
Call
such,
of Duty, we can all totally kill each other
traits.
And it's so amazing.
Yeah, it's bullshit. The DS was actually a major win for Nintendo. Oh.
Do you want to play games half an hour and have a good time? You should get a DS.
It was portable and it was pausable when you closed it, which was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It also introduced, I'm not sure if it did actually, I think Animal Crossing was on the GameCube.
Was it really?
But Animal Crossing on the DS. Oh, I wasted so much time on that game. Anyway, so in 2006, Nintendo was sat there thinking, well, hang on, we last did a significant console launch in 2001. It's 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And nobody liked the GameCube.
I like the GameCube.
Okay, it wasn't a success.
Apart from Mike, no one liked the GameCube.
Apart from Mike and everybody who bought one.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody liked the GameCube.
Everyone that played Mario Sunshine, but anyway.
And there were rumblings coming out of Nintendo that they were doing something radically, radically different.
Oh my God.
And everybody was like, well, okay, fair enough, the GameCube is a bit meh, but they've just taken the world by storm with this whole handheld clamshell thing that they then immediately made smaller, albeit less comfortable to hold. So in 2006, Nintendo unveil their next generation games console.
Oh my God.
And bear in mind, we've got the PlayStation 3 at this point, I think.
Exactly, yeah,
the
exactly.
Xbox 2, I can't remember what it was called. The 360.
Yeah, 360. Yeah, 360.
And they're all like, yeah, we've got 64 gigabytes of 3D memory.
Hey, man.
And
hey,
you can
guys,
shoot a guy in the head and it
before.
Looks so real that it'll give you PTSD.
Do you want to play Call of Duty and feel like you're in the Second World War and you've definitely touched a boob?
Nintendo.
Definitely come and play this game. I'm talking to you, our producer.
Nintendo,
yeah, that's right.
Launch.
Do you want to play Battlefront? It's like you're in Star Wars. Also, vaginas are a separate thing from your life.
Nintendo
Moving
launch
on.
The Wii.
Yeah. That is legit groundbreaking, right?
That's yeah, like, but it's also really confusing.
Oh, so you know controllers? Oh, no, we don't do them anymore.
Because, arguably, Sony and Microsoft have been in such a circle jerk to try and beat each other to absolute climax. And Nintendo have just gone 90 degrees left.
So invested in this conversation, I didn't even buy at that joke. And you're absolutely right. Nintendo do such an amazing job of... Right, so our competitors are, like you say, jerking each other off, trying to beat each other. Actually, we're going to do something from completely left field, totally different. Everyone goes, oh my God, this is fucking awesome.
The Wii, to all intents and purposes,
Mario
technically...
Mario Party on the Wii is like the second game which released is like the most drunk fun I've ever had with a group of friends.
Yep.
It's so good, and I've had orgies.
They introduced motion control.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing, and everybody was like, what the fuck are you doing? Because the graphics are shit. But it doesn't matter, because... Strangely, I'm having fun.
And they released a virtual console. So you bought a Wii. I bought two games for it because they were expensive. And then I went on the Wii store and I bought Mario Brothers 3 and played Mario Brothers 3 on it all the time because it was £6 and I bought it online and I just played with that. Like, that's legit innovative, right?
So
like,
at this point, Nintendo have realized that actually we've got a massive back catalog.
Yeah.
And also, we
and those
can
games
change
are 100
game.
Kilobytes or something.
Because we're not going to be able to beat these guys at faster, better anti-aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
We can just make
Let's
games
make our own
that
game.
Are
Let's
more
make our own game.
Fun.
I'm so excited. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about Nintendo.
We're not
going
to go into too much detail on the Wii because we'll cycle back to it in a sec.
Well, the Wii U can probably do one, but that's fine.
But bear in mind that this is 2006. The next major release from Nintendo comes in 2011.
Sure. And is that the Wii
U? And this
U?
Is the 3DS.
Okay.
Now, the 3DS I like because, frankly, it shows perseverance.
It's
the last time Nintendo got involved with 3D in a handheld, it didn't go so well. This time... It doesn't go so well, but for different reasons. Sure, it still makes people nauseated, but also it kind of coincided with the invention of the iPhone. At which point, at which point the whole concept of a handheld, dedicated gaming machine was like, well, why would I? I've got Angry
Birds.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I can play Angry Birds. Yeah, exactly.
But sales did pick up for the 3DS.
But Nintendo have done an amazing job of getting people away from because I'm that person. I play loads of games, puzzle games and stuff, on my iPad, and they're £4. And that's great. But now I've got a Switch, I buy the same games for £15, and I play them on the Switch. And they've convinced me because I am a mug.
There's a word for that.
Fucking idiot.
That's it. That was two words, but you're a fucking idiot, so...
Fucktard.
A year later, The 3DS is actually a decent console. Sure. It's a bit weird, okay. Not to my taste.
Well, Mario Kart is meant to be amazing on there, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it's meant to be really good.
And they released the Wii U, which nobody fucking got.
Which is like, the controller was like a fucking huge, massive, big wedge of a thing. It was like a Wii controller that had a screen on it that's like a whole thing. It looks like a laptop. And then nobody realised that, oh, that's actually the controller. Like, it's a whole
thing. Yeah, well, they were going for, like, a portability element.
But they didn't market it properly.
They kind of missed.
People didn't realise it was a separate console, I think. Everybody just thought it was like, oh, if you got a Wii, you should get a new controller. It's called the Wii U. Well, no, it's not a new controller. It's a new, entire new thing. Like,
I mean, generally speaking, the Wii U was not a flop.
Sure.
But
apparently
it wasn't
the Link, the Zelda game is amazing
success.
On the Wii U.
Which one was
Is it Wind Walker?
Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, that's it.
That was brought
that's
over
meant to be
from
awesome, right?
The GameCube.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there wasn't a Wii U Zelda. Okay.
I'm guessing it was, but we'll find out in a minute.
Look how bored he is. I just want to draw this to attention.
2016, 4 years
time.
Later. And
how bored he is.
One of the things to remember is that when Sony brought out the PlayStation and Nintendo stock tanked, everybody was telling Nintendo, make games for the PlayStation.
Right.
And Nintendo said no. When they brought the 3DS out and the iPhone was released, everybody was telling Nintendo, you're done.
You're done.
Make games for
the
iPhone.
It's the ultimate handheld. They're carrying it everywhere with them. So yeah.
And Nintendo said no.
And they've done it with great success with Super Mario Run, which is one of the most frustrating games in the world.
In 2016, we get three games. 2016, 2017.
Animal Crossing?
We get Pokemon Go.
Right.
Which, fair enough, Nintendo didn't make, but they licensed.
Yeah, it's still Nintendo, yeah.
Super Mario Run.
Which is...
And in 2017, we got Animal Crossing...
Super Mario Run is all the fun of Mario without the fun of Mario.
It's all the fun of Mario, but you can play it one-handed.
It's got Mario in it, and also he runs, and that's it. There's no... No,
yeah,
but I don't want to do that.
I don't get it.
No, I don't get it.
Not
going
to lie.
No, I don't get it either. No.
But these games are incredibly successful. They're released on iPhone and Android,
in-app
yeah, I guess.
Purchases, make an arm and a leg.
IAP, yeah. And that brings us bang up to last year. 2017, Nintendo released their latest and most current console, the Nintendo Switch.
And the most successful, I guess. Maybe probably not, actually. Now that I think about the NES and the SNES, probably in no way, no.
It's the most recently
more successful,
successful
than the Wii U, and that's it.
It's an evolution of the Wii U's concept with portability.
Sure.
But it's not a complete crazy fest of having a whole two-screen party.
Yeah.
And
it's the that's best.
Us. We've covered all of the Nintendo history. Christ, we probably missed a loadout.
There's no fucking way we have. If anybody tweets us and be like, oh, you didn't talk about that, then you know what? Fuck off.
No, please. Tweet me what I've missed. If I've missed hardware from the Nintendo universe, let me know. But listen to the end, because there's still some little bits to come. So you might think that there are a couple of well-known amazing facts surrounding Nintendo.
I would assume so. Good luck, sorry.
One
just
of them,
dying
and I'm guessing what people are expecting at this point, is the fact that in a recent financial survey, in fact, their own corporate books, that Nintendo have got £6.7 billion
right.
in the bank,
right.
which is enough for them to take a £163 million loss every year until 2052.
Which is lucky with their console track record.
Ayo! Yeah, it's a bit up and down, but it's basically how they're able to weather the whole weakness.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not the amazing fact. Because that's too well known.
The amazing fact is, have you played Zelda, the new Zelda? That is amazing.
Are you aware that there were actually two Zelda games
I think history
for the Super Nintendo?
No. There's two SNES Zelda games.
Oh, yes.
The Japanese and American one?
One of them was delivered by...
Is it Link and Rink? Sorry, no, that was racist. I'm sorry.
One of them was delivered... It's flied lice.
nothing. Cut all of this out. Delete this episode.
Also, that's a Lethal Weapon gag.
It is. It's a reference. It's a reference from Lethal Weapon.
One of them was released in a very weird and wonderful way.
Right.
So, again,
butt.
This is a Japanese-only thing,
sure.
and we're talking about the SNES era. So this was A Link to the Past.
Right.
And
so is
Nintendo,
it two versions of Link to the Past?
Yeah,
two different versions?
Nintendo partnered with a Japanese satellite company to introduce an add-on for the SNES
right.
called Satellaview.
Right.
And what this was basically a box that you put underneath your SNES and
right.
plugged it into your satellite dish.
Right.
And they would deliver games and other content,
what?
But they'd deliver it on a schedule.
So every week you get a new game sent by...
No. Over the course of like a day, you would have an hour where you could play this game.
Oh, right. Okay. So between 3 and 4, you can play this new game.
Yeah.
Right.
Except it wasn't like it saved it on the console at all.
It was just streamed the game.
Buffered and played.
It's so fucking weird.
Which meant that if you hadn't played the previous day's episode, there are a whole bunch of gimmicks just to say, oh, no, sorry, you can't do that anymore. We moved on. Come on.
That's so weird.
And one of those games was The Legend of Zelda, The Ancient Stone Tablets.
Right.
Which was a blatant rehash of Link to the Past, to the point where it had the same world, the same sprites, the same characters, everything.
Right, just a slightly different plot.
Yeah. But because it was delivered in this weird satellite-delivered mechanism, two things were true. Firstly,
new and exciting.
If you missed a day, you couldn't go into dungeons because they were on yesterday's broadcast.
Right.
So there'd just be the thief character saying, no, sorry. You'll have to come back some other time.
Never again. Wow.
But also...
Nothing like a game you can never complete.
Because it was real-time satellite broadcast, you could get access to actual voice acting on the SNES and orchestral music.
Really? Oh, really? I've got to say, in Breath of Wild, the two things that fuck me off is when it cuts to an animated bit and there are voice acting and there's orchestra. I'm like, yeah. Awesome. I don't care. Just fucking, I want to go and hit a thing with
but
a sword.
At the time, given that we were still coming out of the era of subtitles...
Well,
that
was a big deal then. Yeah.
It never made it out of Japan, funnily enough.
Shocker,
that. Because as a format, the idea that I have to go home, why? Because my video game is coming on.
Time difference enough, as in, oh, it's releasing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Japan. Brilliant. I live in Ohio. I've got to skip school.
Yeah, I'm guessing they would have put up a different satellite. But that is my amazing fact, that Nintendo briefly had a satellite game distribution
Your
network.
Amazing fact is Nintendo are constantly trying weird shit.
So off the back of that, now we get to do the very self-indulgent navel-geezy bit.
Sure.
Because Nintendo has brought us many franchises.
Sure.
We've had the likes of Mario, Zelda, Star Fox, Animal Crossing, Kirby, Mega Man,
Unsung Hero,
F-Zero, Pokemon,
Unsung Hero, Kirby,
Mario Kart, Metroid, and a whole bunch of others.
As I've said before, I am not a gamer, and the consoles that I've had, I'm a casual gamer, and as such, Nintendo are my wheelhouse. I played the Game Boy, it was amazing. I recently got a Switch, as well you know, because I never stopped fucking talking about it. I have spent the last 6 weeks playing Breath of the Wild for 4 hours a day. I haven't even done anything. I haven't even been to see Ganon yet. I've done all the shrines. I've done 99 out of 120 shrines, and I've done the 4 divine beasts. And no, I have no intention of going to see Ganon anytime soon, because it feels like once I do Ganon, I'm going to be done the game, and there is still...
Well, you know there's DLC add-ons, right?
Yeah, no, I've got all them as well. Believe me, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I've got the Master Sword DLC and all that kind of business. But I've never played a Zelda game before. So this is my first Zelda game. So recently when I moved house, I was giving away and getting rid of a load of old consoles, and I've kept the GameCube because I want to play old Zelda games. And old Zelda games
on the GameCube,
so ports onto the GameCube are the same price as new games on the Switch. It's insane. Like, if you want to buy Ocarina of Time ported onto the GameCube, it's £35 on Amazon. It's mental. It's mental. But
I mean, bear in mind that when we're talking about Zelda in general terms, Ocarina of Time is still the highest ranked video game ever.
No, but until Breath of the Wild, right? Like, Breath of the Wild is hailed as, like, the best game that's ever been made.
Nope.
Like, really? Ocarina of Time's...
As far as I'm aware, Ocarina of Time remains unseated in its game review aggregate.
Because, when I bought it, because all I want to do is play Mario, because I love Mario. As a casual gamer, I love playing Mario. So I got Mario Odyssey, and it was, like, the most fun in the whole world. It was just the best. And then I got 600 star moons, or whatever the fuck it is. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll give this Zelda game a go. And I was like, oh, no, my life is over now. My life is now over.
I now live in Hyrule.
To the point where I'm like, I wonder how much it is to get a NES so I can play the original fucking Zelda games. It is that bad. They're so fucking addictive.
Looking at from my own perspective, I have probably 1, 2, 3 generations of Nintendo gaming.
Sure.
My kind of early years, which was basically Game Boy and a SNES.
But did you play all the Zelda games back in day as well?
No, I never had a NES. Right. I've played them since.
Sure.
As an adult.
You've retrospectively played it.
But no, the SNES was my introductory console. The Game Boy and then later Game Boy Color, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I remember Zelda on the Game Boy being in color. And those were amazing because those were playing with my family, with my parents.
But Nintendo do such a good job of playing, of like a party game thing.
Partially.
Like, it's like gaming, but you're not taking it too fucking seriously.
They also do an amazing job of games that is actually fun to watch other people play.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
and bear in mind, my cousins, of course, had a Mega Drive. So they used
who wants to watch somebody play fucking Sonic or Rayman?
Well, no, it was
or
amazing. Got best of both worlds. Could only afford one console, so yeah.
I must say, Sonic Mania on a Switch is fucking sick. I must say, it is really good.
We've got my secondary set, which is kind of the uni years, teenage years, where basically we were playing GoldenEye.
So did you grow up with Nintendo consoles?
Yeah,
you always did.
100%.
Like N64 is legit, like game changing. Admittedly, like Mario 64, GoldenEye. We had I had a birthday party for a 35-year-old man last year, where everyone came around to my house, and we sat on beanbags, we played Mario 3, we ended up having to play it on a Raspberry Pi emulator, because the NES would not plug into my television, and we played GoldenEye on the N64, because it's GoldenEye. It does not, the gameplay holds up.
The graphics do not.
No, you think it oh my god, it looks so good,
no,
it was
it
so amazing.
It is
hard to define what is a hand and what is a gun, it is a nightmare.
Doesn't matter.
But we played it for about 14 hours.
As a teenager, coming of age, turned 16, and I realised this is it.
Yeah.
As a 16-year-old boy in the UK, I can finally buy an N64 because I've been saving up for it for a year.
You buy them for 20 quid off the online. But like that's why I bought an Xbox, because the people that made GoldenEye made Perfect Dark.
Because you're a sellout.
Yeah, well, sure, I'm a sellout. Whatever, I have no allegiance. But I bought an Xbox because Perfect Dark was made by the people that made GoldenEye.
It was
amazing multiplier thing. Rare.
Because Rare were briefly completely owned by Nintendo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they bought them out.
Okay.
Around about the GameCube time.
It's like Perfect Dark on the Xbox is fucking brilliant.
But
because
Perfect Dark
like
was built for the N64, right?
Was it really?
Yes.
See, this is the thing. I know nothing of games. I know nothing of games. I've recently bought a Switch, and I've started playing Mario and Zelda, and I'm like, oh my god, I love all these things. What game should I play? And unfortunately, if you've just bought a Switch as an adult man, and you go on the internet, and you say to people, hello, I've just bought a Switch, what games would you recommend? People don't say, oh, you should get this, that'll be really good. What they do is say is, you mean you haven't been playing games since you were 8? Fuck off, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
the internet.
Tolerant bunch, the gamers
the
online.
Internet. Oh, sorry, you're not an expert at playing, like, no, it's the worst. It's
I
the
think
worst.
The other thing is that, yeah, my third phase is the adult gamer, and that actually contains the DS, or DS Lite, which, frankly, got me through God knows how many miles of various holidays and what have you.
The Mario World game on the DS is so good.
I played Animal Crossing. I played an awful lot of Detective Layton.
I did way too much brain training on that fucking game.
I tried doing brain training and then realised my brain is just untrainable.
I never actually played brain training. All I did was the Sudokus that were an extra on brain training. It was really nice.
But yeah.
You could watch a movie and play brain training.
Mario Kart has been a massive part of my life. We used to sit and play hours and hours and hours of Mario Kart on the SNES.
We are yet to play Mario Kart
on
the Switch. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I mean,
I'm not 100% sure you're ready for that level of spanking.
I've hammered our producer so bad that I basically ground his pelvis down into dust, and he was like crying, and there was a whole thing where like he was like, oh, I admit I'm a little tiny bitch, and like it was a horrible thing. After months and months and months of being like, I've played Mario Kart since it came out on the SNES, I'm going to beat you. And then, you know, when I beat him, it was so, like, admittedly, you can cut this part out, but it was so satisfying just to grind him down into a tiny little person like he is. And eventually, he just showed me his tiny penis. And yeah, so what I would say is, we should play Mario Kart, because I would be very happy for you to be beaten by me, because I keep playing online and being beaten by Swedish teenagers all the time. So that's fine.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
We could play. Or we could get our wives to play, and we could bet on our wives. Because they're both equally shit at computer games, I think that's fair.
It sounds strangely like it's in the vein of what Nintendo wanted us to do.
I love my wife, but watching her play Mario is one of the most frustrating things I've ever seen.
So yeah, the Switch I now have, and have basically, I mean, I also bought a Wii, I bought a Wii by accident. In fact, not by accident. I bought a Wii because it was the last. Was the last one in the shop.
Sure.
And it was 3 days before Christmas, and I basically bought it so that the dickhead in the queue behind me couldn't. Because he was being such a twat. He was like, I'm going to get a Wii.
Fuck that guy.
For my kid. I figured I didn't have to wait too much longer. I didn't have to get it any earlier. Yeah, I was like, hey, love, can you get us one of those things? And I was like, yeah, is that the last one? Yes,
I'll
please, thank
that.
You. Cash or card?
Yeah, fuck off.
Either. and he actually tried to buy it off me for 3 times the price.
That is amazing.
And I told him to go and suck a bag of dicks.
He should have gone, and I hope he did.
I didn't. I just said, sorry, sir.
I recently moved house, and as I said, I was throwing a load of stuff away. And when I was throwing carrier bags full of cables and consoles and stuff, I got rid of loads of stuff. But the thing I didn't get rid of was, because I played Mario Odyssey so much and I loved it so much, is that I realized that I played Mario Sunshine for probably 3 hours, and I was like, meh. But because Odyssey is so good, it's made me keep the GameCube to hook it up to my TV so that I can go back and play Mario Sunshine.
At some point, Mike, I'm going to have to introduce you to the concept of emulation.
Yeah, sure. As soon as they introduce the online store in September, I have no doubt I'll get Sunshine.
Not legal emulation.
Oh, like a Raspberry Pi with every game ever on
maybe.
The thing.
Anyway, on that note, I think it's possibly worth...
wrapping up?
A little bit with...
We have been talking for about 14 hours.
Nintendo's legacy.
I think our producer is dead.
It was bad.
He's miming asleep, but I think he might be dead.
I mean,
we still got to talk about Naked Gun.
As I said in the intro, Nintendo are Japan's third most valuable company.
So what are the first two?
Who cares?
Sony and Samsung
it's
or something?
Probably Sony and Samsung.
I think like Samsung are Korean, yeah.
Sony and Hitachi or Mitsubishi.
Also at this
cars.
Point, who gives a fuck? They're the third most, shut up!
But they've got there, I think, personally, by a couple of cool things. They've never shied away from applying innovation to interaction. And technology.
Labo is the definite example
Labo
of that.
With the Switch is the next example of that.
I can't wait for that.
But, you know, a clamshell handheld?
Exactly. Like, who else
Motion
would have thought
control?
That? That's always been the thing. The most innovative and most successful things have always been, who else would have thought of that?
I mean, the thing I love about the Wii like, Motion controls is it was so out there
but
that even Nintendo hadn't thought it through enough to think we should probably attach this to the player so they don't chuck them through their
telly. Who's brave
telly.
Enough to do that?
Nintendo
take the gamble
every time.
To the point where they're like, I'm literally putting our entire company's existence on the hook.
And this
every time.
This comes back to an amazing quote and indeed a book from Yokoi before he made the Virtual Boy. And he said that Nintendo specialise in lateral thinking of withered technology.
Sure.
So they don't use the most powerful, the latest processors.
It's perfect. Yes, exactly.
They just do something different
with the Switch,
with something
exactly
that
right.
works.
Yeah.
And they did it with the Game Boy, and they won.
Yeah.
And they did it with the
Well, they're
NES,
arguably winning.
And they won.
They're arguably winning the next-gen console wars with the Switch, and the Switch is, by all intents and purposes, kind of bullshit, actually.
It's
you can't do shit
smartphone.
On it. You can't do shit on it. It's a touchscreen smartphone.
I think the final observation that I found in wading through all of the bits and pieces that Nintendo have done, all of my memories over the years, Nintendo like fun.
Yeah.
They make games to be played.
Yeah.
And that's...
Do you have a good line?
I think something that an awful lot of the games console manufacturers
They forget about that. It's not about, like, Call of Duty crazy competitive nightmareness. It's just fun. This has been the Tech Segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We're in JB's. We are drinking Gamma Ray because we've been drinking everything else, but we're just drinking Gamma Ray right now. It's been produced by Falco Lombardi. We are available on WDAWKT in Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just look us up, motherfuckers. Just Google. You'll find us. And next month, we are doing other films and tech segments, which I forget. I think it's O. Is it O? I think it's O.
It's O.
It's O. Oh, we're doing Ocean's 11 and Onion Routing.
We are.
Oh, Onion Routing. I don't know what that is. It's definitely a thing that's made up. Anyway, I love you. Nailed it. We'll be right back. That is strange. Oh, I don't like peeling it back like that. Oh, I look like I'm unsheathing a dry and corny penis. Oh, that's extremely shrimpy. Smell that. Have a sniff on the tip of that. Good Lord. I love the packaging. And actually, it is really good. I mean, I don't think I could eat just one. I think I could eat a third of one. But smells terrible. Actually, is really nice.